So I will read first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. You get the picture, do you? The darkness suddenly being broken into by sudden light. It's like the unexpected rising of the sun in the middle of the night. And Advent is that kind of time where Isaiah in the Old Testament is talking. He's talking of an expectancy. Something is going to happen, and everything will be changed by its happening. The expectancy in his case is that which leads towards the birth of Christ, the birth of a baby who would go on to change our lives and the lives of every person on this planet. But it doesn't start in this point. The start point in this passage is what? It's darkness. Darkness. I want to talk about darkness first, just to give you a sense when we get to light, how important that is. If I turn that on, super dark. I don't know if you've ever, how you feel about darkness, how you feel when you're caught in a moment of darkness. Darkness can sometimes feel like it closes in around you. As a child, I was frightened of the dark. I wanted my mum to leave the lights on the landing at night, all night if possible. Didn't like darkness. If you walk from a sunlit garden into a dim, dark lounge of a house, or if you're out in a stately home and you walk into a stately home from a bright garden, you can suddenly be completely disorientated by the enclosed darkness that surrounds you and covers you. Nighttime, all the more intense, if you're in real darkness, not, you know, in-town darkness. We were out in Devon recently, and outside were no street lights anywhere. And as you walked in to the house and you turned off the lights, everything was dark. And unlike at home, where your eyes adjust to the light that's outside and it begins to change, and if you go, you start being able to see things you couldn't see before, it stayed dark. Of course, these days we don't often have that kind of darkness. The darkness in the way that the people in the Old Testament would have realized when they read this passage and others like it. They didn't have electric lights or street lights. Mind you, buying a house in Burton, I realized that we're going to be living somewhere that also doesn't have street lights. However, they do, I believe, I've been led to believe, have electricity. Just.
Alternate days, okay.
You know, if you stretch out your hand, you flip a switch, and what happens? The darkness is gone. The light is on. Except if there's a power cut. But normally, when you flip a switch, the darkness is gone. A few years ago now, I was in the Boy Scouts. If you come to think of it, it's quite a few years ago now, I was in the Boy Scouts. A bit strange if I was in a Boy Scouts older than that. And as a Boy Scout, you had to learn different skills. And you got badges down your arm. I didn't get many badges because I was lazy. Couldn't be bothered to do all those kind of really sort of specialist skills like abseiling upside down, blindfolded badge or anything like that. But you could get badges for tying knots. You could get badges for changing the wheel on a car. You could get badges for lighting a fire. I thought you could get badges for doing much more with fire, but unfortunately not. And also you got to play games. And one of the games that we got to play was a game called Capture the Flag. I don't know, has anyone ever played Capture the Flag in the Boy Scouts? Or one, no, two. Well, I better explain the rules to you then. Capture the Flag is a wide game. A wide game is a game that's played either in a very large building or outside. And basically what you had two camps, and one camp had a flag and the other camp had a flag, and one team was supposed to capture the flag of the other team before the other team captured your flag. And there were two main places that as scouts, I was in the 5th Bournemouth Scout Troop, two main places where we used to play this wide game. One was at Queen's Park Golf Course. You know Queen's Park Golf Course? It's a good place. Not in the daytime when they're playing golf, though. That's a dangerous place. And the other place was at Badbury Rings near Wimborne. Now, the thing was, we would always arrive at dusk to play this wide game, either at Queen's Park or at Badbury Rings. It would be dusk. It would be dark. Well, getting dark. And they used to set it up, so they would send one team of scouts over to one side of Badbury Rings, the other team of scouts to the other side with their necessary flags to set up their checkpoint, command point, or whatever else they want to call it, HQ, whatever. And then, by the time they'd managed to sort us all out and get us in order and stop us running off and doing all sorts of other things that we shouldn't be doing, by the time they managed to get the game started and blow the whistle, it was completely dark. Changes the perspective of Badbury Rings in the dark. Darkness helped me not to be seen, but it didn't help me find the other checkpoint. I have no idea where I went, but I don't think I got anywhere near the flag of the opposition. Regularly, I would find myself in brambles. And if someone was coming the other way, they might have been friend, they might have been foe, I have no idea, and they were shining their torch, I would leap into a load of stinging nettles to get out their way. But I never got the flag. I never got captured, though. Someone stood on my foot once. Stood on my hand whilst I was lying on the floor once, but they never caught me. You see, the problem with darkness is it leaves you with certain senses of being lost and disorientated and not knowing where you are. And it's a common metaphor in the Old Testament that you see these things about being lost and in chaos and in rebellion against God through these things through this use of a metaphor, darkness, in the Old Testament. You see, the thing about this passage in Isaiah chapter 9 and other passages like it is that it's not really about physical darkness. It's about spiritual darkness. People are in spiritual darkness. I'll give you an illustration. Here's a passage in Isaiah chapter 59 that talks it through quite helpfully. It says this: So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. Now, it's not talking about light and darkness, it's talking about justice and righteousness. And without those things, there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall. Can you imagine that? Yeah? In a dark room. Have you ever been in a dark room? You're going, want to go find the loo, and you don't want to turn the light on because you don't want to wake the other person up. You're groping your way along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Complete darkness. Goes on to say, at midday we stumble as though it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. You know, you can be as strong as you like, but if you're trapped in darkness, you're at a complete disadvantage. We all growl like bears and mournfully like doves. We look for justice but find none, for deliverance, but it's far away. See, they're looking for what? They're looking for light. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. It's telling us what it's like to be in a place of injustice, in a place of unrighteousness, in rebellion with God. And so that's quite a common metaphor for being separated from God, is the concept of darkness. And darkness here is the consequence of a rebellious life, a life of separation from God. It happens over and over again. Here's a proverb, Proverbs 4, 18 to 19. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You know what it's like? You're up there, you're in the dark, you're wandering around, you kick the table. What was that? You don't know what makes you stumble. The idea there is that rebellious people are in such a dark place in their relationship with God, they can't see what's tripping them up in their life. You know, I've worked with alcoholics before, and alcoholics will claim that it's virtually everything but alcohol that is the problem. They can't see what's tripping them up in their lives. So the inference here is to walk our own way is to bring darkness into our lives. And for those in the Old Testament, that nation of Israel, rebelliousness and rejection of God was a key issue that occurred over and over and over again. And the prophets looked forward, and they could see the problems. Everyone can see the problems. But they looked forward. They looked forward to something that would bring light, something that would bring something to change us, to change our problems, to change that key issue. But in the midst of that hoping and looking forward, they recognized that this nation, who should be living with God, who should be living in the light, who should have a relationship with God, were living in lostness, and they were groping their way through life. They were tripping over the curbstones of life, and they were lost in abject despair and poverty. You know, maybe you can identify with this. Maybe you've wandered in here this morning thinking, I'll go to church today. I don't know what else to do. Maybe you feel lost in life, unable to see what's tripping you up, lacking hope. Well, there is hope. You know, it may be super dark for people who do not know Christ, for people who are lost in the darkness, for people who are lost without God and separated from Him. But there is this good news. God didn't make us to live in the dark. God didn't make us to live in the darkness. He didn't make us to live in poverty of spirit. He made us with a heart that wanted to come into the light, to come into the light and to know the light. Going back to the story of my scouting days and that massive wide game up at Badbury Rings and my journey into the brambles and the nettles, one thing that you did become, you became super sensitive in the darkness to any form of light. I don't know if you've ever been anywhere where you would normally, you walk around in the daytime with no problem at all, and then at night time you begin to notice the very, very small bits of light that are around you. Perhaps the window of a house over the field or even on a hillside, or a car headlight going by in the distance. And I would, as playing that wide game, I'd become super sensitive to torchlight in the distance. You'd look for the tiniest specks of light that might give you a little bit of hope for direction and somewhere to aim towards. It might be the wrong way, but it's somewhere to aim towards. And the very opening stanzas of the Bible, it talks about that desire to go towards the light. The very foundations of the universe are laid not on darkness, but on light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then what did God say? Let there be light. And there was light. We were never created to live in the darkness. We were never created to live in darkness. We were created to live in the light. And you know that passage we read in Isaiah 59:9, it says this, the one that said, we look for light, all is darkness, or brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Well, it's not a pronouncement of No, you stupid idiots. You're walking in the darkness and it's all your own fault and you're lost for all eternity. It's actually God revealing his heart and saying, look, I know where you are and I am not satisfied with you being there. God reveals, not so that he can gloat over us, but that so he can bring his light to us and so that we can come to his light. He doesn't gloat over the lostness of men and women, but he reveals our darkness so we can come to him and know his light. This is the rest of this passage in Isaiah 59. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice, that everyone's walking and living in the darkness. He saw there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So what does he do? Laughs? No. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Does it remind you of anyone? Reminds me of Jesus. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Can you see the clues in there? I'll put them up, there's a few. God sees our situation. He can see our darkness. He knows where we are. He knows how we are dealing with that darkness, how we are struggling in that darkness. And he acts by bringing his light into the darkness. And the Advent concept is that this expectation is that God will not leave us here. He will not leave us in poverty. He will not leave us in spiritual poverty. He will not leave us in these places. He will act. And that's the Old Testament prophets are looking forward to this God who will act. He will save. He will fight for us. He will restore light to our lives. And as we come towards Christmas time, that's what Jesus is about. Bringing light into our darkness, forgiveness for our sin, and bringing us back to him, to God, to the Father. God sees, God knows, God acts, God saves, God fights for us, and he restores us to the light in our lives. The good news is not that we're in darkness. The good news is that God is not satisfied to leave us there and worked to bring us out, to bring us back, to bring us hope, and all that comes with that. Isaiah goes on into chapter 60. Of course, there's no chapters in the original text. It just read on. It says this, Isaiah 61-3, "Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. The glory, his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." People will come when they see the light, Isaiah says. Like moths to a flame. And the challenge for us is not to turn on the light. That's God's job. He's the one who holds the light. It's to come to the light. It's to come to his light. The call of God on our lives is to come to his light. Jesus is the light of the world. We're to come to him. What is light? Is light our works? Our doing right? Our deeds? Some people think it is. I just think, you know, if you're standing there in darkness trying to do good deeds, does it make the lights come on? No, it doesn't. No, it's the glory of God. The glory of God. What did it say in that passage? Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. the glory of God turns our light on. Remember the shepherds in the field? The angel comes. What do they say? Glory to God in the highest. What are they saying? Well, they would have recognized that as coming. The glory of the Lord is coming. Is a arise, shine, for your light has come. They recognize that when the glory of God is revealed, that the light is being switched on in their lives. I love that word glory. I love the Hebrew word glory. The Hebrew word glory is the word kavod, okay? Kavod. You might want to say that. Kavod, okay? It's a good word. The basic meaning of it is this. It's this word that means wow. That's the meaning of the word. Wow. It just means the awesome presence of God is among us. You know? Glory to God in the highest. The wow of God has turned up. God has come. Wow. We don't do much wowing in church, but we always sit there, sullen faces, looking like we're going to the dentist. As long as we don't go out looking like we've been to the dentist. The Hebrew word kavod, the exclamation of, wow, God is among us. God has turned up. He has come. He has arrived. And our light is being blazed into our lives. I just remember that the words of Jesus. He says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If we walk with him, we're in light. If we walk away from him, we're in darkness. And repentance is about coming to God, coming back to God. Some people think repentance is about saying sorry to God. Nothing to do with that. That's more confession than repentance. Repentance is the idea of coming back to God, to walking into the presence of God. How do we get to light then? Well, we come to light by walking into his presence and living there and dwelling there. And remaining there and walking with him there. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You know, Christians are not Christians because they are religious and follow the rules. Christians are Christians because they live in the light and follow Christ. They have a relationship with Jesus and they live in the light. Simple as that. That passage in Isaiah 59:20 said that light was available to those who repent. Repentance is about coming back. Coming back. If you're feeling distant from God or you're feeling darkness in your life at this time, you know what it's saying to you? It's saying, come back. Come home. Come back to me, God says. I've given you away through my Son. Come home. Come home. I don't want you to walk in the darkness anymore, God says to us. I don't want you to be there anymore. You weren't designed to live there. I began with saying, let there be light. Why do you want to walk in the darkness? Walk in the light, Jesus says. God says. The Old Testament prophets said. You know, when I was out on Badbury Rings in the dark, trying to avoid the enemy and the brambles and the nettles, you know what my eyes were searching for? Light. I wanted clues. I wanted to get somewhere. And the metaphor in the Bible is very, very strong about getting somewhere with God. If you feel that you're not getting somewhere with him today, maybe you're not walking with him today. Maybe you've wandered off into the darkness. Come back. Come back. Isaiah 9 reminds me of all the shepherds on the hill outside in Bethlehem. Out there in the darkness, when the light came up, when the glory of the Lord came up, when the presence of God suddenly surrounded them. Why them? I had no idea. They were the lowest of the low. Well, of course, they're descendants of King David. That's why, of course. They were looking after the Passover lambs in the field. That's why. They were the ones who used to swaddle up the baby lambs and put them into mangers to look after them and make sure that they were healthy and strong. That's why. Because they needed to go and see the Lamb of God who was swaddled himself and lying in a manger for 33 years preparation to be a Passover lamb and a sacrifice for us. That's why. But the kavod of God turned up. The presence of God turned up. And their lives were turned upside down. From dark fields to living in the light of the presence of the living Lord Jesus and the living God. If you come here this morning lost or lost again, you have hope. You don't need to live in the darkness. You can come to the presence of God. You can walk with him today. You can let the sun come up. You can let that child, the son who is unto us, come into your life. Refresh your life. Relight your life. Your God, your mighty counselor, that Prince of Peace, come into your heart today again afresh. Let's just pray. Let's just close our eyes. Maybe there are one or two people who need to do a bit of business with God this morning. They feel that they've disconnected. Maybe you've never known the light. Maybe you've come to church for a while and you've never actually realized that you didn't know Jesus and actually need to him. It's an opportunity just to say, Lord, I want your light in my life. Please come in. I want to lay my life down to you. I want to know you. I need your forgiveness and your love in my life. Or maybe for one or two, it's that sense, or maybe more, that sense of, I did it my own way. I wanted to do it my way. And I found myself suddenly, unexplainably, back in the dark. And I didn't know how I got here. But I don't want to be here. I want to be back in the light. It's that thing of repentance, of coming back, of returning. You know, God wants people to return. Angels rejoice in heaven over people who return. Come back. Refresh your relationship with him. Maybe like in the picture of the train, maybe you feel you've come off the rails. Let him put you back on. Let him get you moving again with him. Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning. That you would refresh and restore that Advent message of hope and good news in our hearts. That we would see, Lord, in the darkness, the light, and come running into your presence. You want us to be in your presence. You want us, Lord, to live in the light. You created us to live in the light. You don't want us to live one more moment in the darkness, tripping over the curbs of life, groping along the walls of life, tripping up and stubbing our toes on the tables of life. But you want us to see clearly and to love you, to know you. Lord, we give our lives again and afresh to you as we wait for Christmas and to see all that you've brought through Christ, born in a stable, laid in a manger. We thank you. Amen. Amen.